Hello, and welcome to the Far Stone Diamonds interim results for the 6 months to 31st of December 2015 call. And throughout this, all participants shall be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. And just to remind you, this is being recorded. And today, I'm pleased to present Stuart Brown, CEO, and Grant Ferryman, CFO. And Stuart, please begin.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everyone, and thanks for taking the time to dial in to listen to us give you the update on the interims and more up-to-date numbers on the project as we complete this call. Format of today, I'll be giving you an introduction, go through where we are at the end of the calendar year last year, and then give you an update on where we are this year. And then Grant will take us through the very simple financial statements and explain one or two things, and then we'll have a little bit of a look forward and a summary at the end. So without further ado, I think just as a brief introduction, I think I know who's on the call, and I think everyone barring one I know. So a quick recap of our strategy. We started in 2014, in June, with completing of the raising of the funds and started construction somewhat north of the July month in 2014, and we were been working very hard ever since then. We suffered a six-month delay to the project that we announced in mid-2015, due to the very bad weather that we encountered in November 2014, and additional overburden that was unforeseen in the project. And ever since then, we've been really working very hard to try and overcome the time delay, which I think we're managing to pull some of that back. And we've had some very good weather this year, so we've been very fortunate in our ability to do some very good work. This has all culminated at the end of December 2015, with us being 61% complete and on our revised schedule, and also having spent 63% of the money. As all of you will notice, we've increased the budget to 2.1 billion rand, but still within the $185.4 million budget. And that's been very favorably affected by the weakening of the rand against the dollar, or the Maloti against the dollar. And this has allowed us to de-risk the project and also cater for the overexpenditure on the overburden removal and the time delay. If I could then just move on, I mean, I think you've all read the announcement, and Grant will take you through the financials. So if I could just focus very briefly on where we are to date, as at the end of February. We're now 68% complete, so we've done another 7% of the project in the 2 months, which is January, which is a very short month because it's the start-up of the post-Christmas and New Year builders break. And then February, which is also a fairly full month. We're quite pleased with where we are now, so we're still on schedule. And if I was to hazard a guess of where we are now, we've been working very hard in the first couple of weeks of March. So I think the project from our perspective is going well. We've now spent 1.4 billion rand out of the, you know, the 2.1 billion. We're 68% spent, so it means our money and our work is perfectly in tune. And I'm, again, very pleased. I met with Glenn Black this morning, who drove down from the mountain, and we've managed to do all the work we said we were going to do. If we look forward, obviously the risk for us is we've got to complete the remaining, say, 30% of the project. But we feel very confident that by the end of April, we'll have all the equipment that will have been delivered to site, so we're busy with that as we go. We've got a huge lay-down yard now that we've established. So that's another risk that we will have ticked off. And then effectively, we've got all the equipment on site, and then it's just a mechanized process of erecting everything. So I think we're going well for the end of the year production. As you know, in February, the Indaba, I briefed everyone that we've got an internal target, and Glenn certainly spent a lot of time taking you through that, of trying to finish earlier than the end of the year. And I think we're on track for trying to achieve production, initial production in October. We still call that our internal target. As Grant will take you through the money very shortly, we're still budgeting very conservatively, and we're making sure that we are successful and not over-promising anything. So I will cater for any other comments post-Grant's financials. If I could hand over to you, Grant, now, and then I'll give a summary at the end of your presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our interim announcement. I'm going to walk you through the financials for the interim period ended 31 December 2015, and I'll just highlight as I go along a few of the more important aspects. I'll start with the income statement. Firstly, let me say that the loss in the company's current stage of development is obviously expected. Essentially, all costs associated with the development project are capitalized, and that leaves only corporate and other group costs as an expense item going through the income statement. The loss before tax and finance costs for the period of 2.1 million compares favorably with the loss of 2.3 million in the previous year. And the loss for the period of 4.6 million, although only slightly higher than the loss in the previous year of $4.4 million, includes translation losses, which are a non-cash item of 2.1 million. As a result, the loss per share was marginally higher at 1.5 cents compared to 1.4 cents in the prior year. If you turn now to the balance sheet, the first thing you'll notice when looking at the balance sheet is that the increase in the value of property, plant and equipment of only $15 million for the period is much lower than the increase in the debt drawn down for the same period of $52.4 million before offsetting finance costs, which are amortized over the loan periods. The reason for this is that the assets are denominated in Lesotho Maloti, which is pegged at a rate of 1 to 1 against the South African rand, and the liability, on the other hand, is denominated in US dollars. The assets were therefore subject to significant devaluation in the rand of 26.5% during the period, which reduced the value on our balance sheet of property, plants and equipment by 33.4 million. And this can be seen in note 2 to the interim statements. Equity value for the group decreased by 23.8 million, mainly as a result of the translation losses associated with the major assets being denominated in the Lesotho Maloti. Liabilities increased by 29.3 million, and 32.4 million came from the EBSA debt facility, and 20 million was in respect of the Eurobonds. Both of the numbers I'm quoting here are before offsetting finance costs, which are to be amortized in the future over the lives of the facilities. Turning finally to the cash flow statement, cash costs were offset by positive changes in working capital for the period, which resulted in positive cash flow from operating activities of $2 million. $46 million was invested in the LMDC plants during the period, and funding for this was provided by drawdowns against both the EBSA and the Eurobond facilities, where $32.4 million was drawn down against EBSA and $20 million against the Eurobonds. Transaction costs incurred of $9.7 million include an $8.2 million single insurance premium, which was paid in respect of the political risk insurance, and that's in connection with the EBSA project debt facility. The group ended the period with $14.2 million in cash and had available debt facilities of $60 million, which excludes the project standby facility of $15 million at the end of December. So in summary, at the end of December, $116 million has been spent on the project, which represented 63% of the total project budget of $185.4 million, and contracts representing 94% were fixed and firm, leaving only 6% of the budget exposed to cost escalation risk, which we don't expect at this stage to be material at all. At the end of February, project spend and progress are aligned at 68%, which Stuart mentioned earlier, and with total spend currently at $125 million. At that date, the group still had cash and debt facilities totaling $83.1 million, which would leave the group with headroom of approximately $10 million, excluding the project overrun facility of $15 million at the end of the project, or once construction completes. The group therefore has costs under control and has sufficient funding in place to complete the project and to start operations in Q4 of 2016. Thank you very much, and I'll hand you back over to Stuart.
Right, thank you, Grant. So if I could summarize very briefly, I think from a project perspective, we're going well for the year-end startup of initial production. And as I said to you, we have an internal target of October, sometime in October, and we're working very hard and very, very successfully, I think, to this. What risks do we have remaining? Well, we've got 30% plus of the project left to construct, and success is contingent on continuing good weather, although that risk is now much smaller because we've done all the civils and the concrete work, and we're now in the erection work, so when it rains, it has far less of an effect on us. As I said, all the equipment will be on site and the construction materials on site. So it's been purely construction erection risk. We've got all the heavy equipment on site. There's nothing else delivered. Indeed, we've already installed both sets of scrubbers. The final scrubber was implemented and installed on Saturday this past week. What I haven't mentioned is we did receive a huge amount of work permits towards the end of February, and I think this risk is also diminishing. The startup is expected on schedule, and we've now begun with the operational readiness. Recruitment processes have started, adverts are in the paper, we're going through all the interviews, we've actually made some offers, we've got equipment orders, maintenance plans, the final detailed mine planning is being done, and all of that will fall into place over the next couple of months as we then move along. I turn to the finances, our costs and our overhead. I think we can demonstrate very clearly that over the last 2 years we've been very consistent with our costs and we've got a very firm grasp on our overhead. Our finance costs that are going through the income statement and being capitalized are firmly under control on as expected. We've been drawing the funds down very cleverly and closely. We're very well hedged to protect our downside. We've been creating more rands from our existing dollars. We've been a very conservative approach to spending money. And our startup money of $10 million without the standby of $15 million to date is what we consider a very good buffer to have to cater for any potential delays. And we then have the risk of what do we get for our diamonds when we get to market, which is a very nice problem to have. So it's been a great pleasure over the last 6 months to work with the project team. And I think everything's going really well. The project team's very dedicated to what they're doing, very committed, and all locked into the closing date. So without any further additions to that, I'm more than happy for Grant and I to take any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please could you press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, simply ask that question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's return to speak, or want to retract that question, just press 0 and then 2, and there'll be a brief pause while all the questions are being registered. So again, it's 0 and then 1, not star and 1.
And some paper.
So our first question is from the line of Des Kelly at RBC. Des, please do go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Stuart and Grant. Just a couple of questions. The first is an accounting technical one, Grant. The fact that you account for the PPE in Rand or Maloti and the liabilities in dollars, is there no way you could actually restate the equipment in dollars? I know it doesn't really matter, but it kind of seems a little bit confusing. And then, Stuart, yeah, you mentioned the work permits are progressing well. Can you maybe update on how many more you expect to get or want to get before you finish? And then finally, just address, I know I've spoken to you about it, just how much water capacity you'll have and how you've catered for dry periods. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, yeah, Des. You let Grant start and then I'll do the last two.
Thanks. Des, you're quite right. I think it is obviously confusing to a reader to see that the asset value is decreasing, but the liability value remains the same. And the fact of the matter is here that the statements dictate that the functional currency of an entity is the currency in which most of its costs are incurred or most of its revenue is generated. So we've got a situation here where Likabong's functional currency for the time being is certainly the Maloti or the South African Rand, since all of the costs that are being incurred at the moment are Rand denominated. So what that's resulting in is obviously, as far as Likabong's concerned, all of the capitalized project costs are being capitalized in rands, and then when we get to each reporting period, we're having to retranslate those into dollars at closing dollar values, with the difference hitting the translation reserves. On the other hand, obviously on the liability is denominated in US dollars. So once again, in Likabong's books, Likabong has this ever-increasing, or so long as the rand continues to devalue, Likabong is going to have this increasing liability in Maloti terms on its balance sheet. I think this problem will be addressed in the future when Likabong nears the stage of generating revenue, because it's at that stage when Likabong's largest number in its accounts will be the revenue number, and that revenue number will be in US dollars. So there's the opportunity for us at that stage, and the statements will dictate whether it's appropriate for the company to change its functional currency from the Maloti to the US dollar at that point in time.
Thanks, Grant.
We're now over.
So you had two other questions.
Yeah.
One on work permits. Yeah, I think post us seeing you, we received 42 work permits, which was the balance of the steel erectors work permits that they need. And I think that was a major victory for us. To between now and the completion of the project, we have some 50 additional work permits that we need approved, and we will be hearing this week where that's the status of those is. They've come out the Labour Minister's office, but we haven't yet been given feedback, and we're told we'll get them by the end of the week. I think our relationship there is a good one, and we're starting to get much more traction on the ground as people understand that we're trying to get the project complete now. So I think we feel confident that the remaining work permits aren't an issue. At the moment, we've got plenty of work to do with the existing staff on site, so there's no one holding us back.
Great.
And then on the water, you're quite right. I think in Lesotho water, obviously, our only source of water is to harvest rainfall, and our entire procedure over the last sort of year and a half has been to create all the water capacity and water storage capacity on site. And then to see all of those empty as the rainy season was delayed to 2016. We had no rain in November and December at all, really, to speak of. Fortunately, we've had significant rains post the visit early in February, and we're now in a situation where our main pit, where we're storing water, and we will use that water for the start-up of the mine, is full at 250,000 cubic meters. Our satellite pit, which will have a capacity of around 290 to 300,000 cubic meters, is probably two-thirds full, and we're still harvesting water and pumping it into there right now. And then our raw water dam, which is next to the plant of 100,000 cubic meters, is probably also 70% full, and we're still harvesting water and, you know, being able to do that. So we envisage having over 600,000 cubic meters of water available at the start of production, which is just prior to the start of the next rainy season. So that risk has been ticked up for us. And we're in the final processes of approval for an additional 220,000 cubic meter dam that we will be building further down in the license area at the bottom of the valley, which we should have complete by the start of the rainy season this year, which will hopefully be in November, December 2016. So that further mitigates the water risk.
Thanks, Stuart.
Okay, we're now over to Martin Potts at FinCap. Please do go ahead, Martin. Your line is open.
Good morning. I think you probably just about answered it. I was going to ask about the outstanding work permits and whether any of those are sort of mission critical in terms of delivering the project on time.
Yeah, I think, as I said, I think they're all critical now. You know, we need the right skills in place, and we've worked very hard with the Ministry of Labour. I think we've successfully converted the Ministry of Mines to understand that, you know, the skills aren't available. But it's you're dealing with a population that's desperate for work, and the descriptions of jobs are sometimes sound like everyone can do them. But, you know, we've managed to spend a lot of time with the Minister of Labour and his team to get them to understand what it is that we need and why we need the critical permits. We've had some very good meetings at the top level in government, and I think that's unlocked the logjam. And I think, you know, we're confident now that we'll get the remaining permits. So we're now into the smaller little contractors, because we've got all the erection people now. It's the technical electricians, the very competent control and instrumentation people, and specialist welders and people like that that we need to get on site. And we're doing well with those permits.
Okay, thanks.
Next is Nick Chalmers at Stifel. Stifel, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents. It sounds like you're making strong progress towards first production in Q4. Could you give us your thoughts on the schedule thereafter, the ramp-up schedule to full-scale production, both in terms of volume of ore throughput to the plant, but also steady-state quality of ore throughput?
Yeah, sure, I can handle that. I mean, we've got 110,000 tonnes, what we call as a mixed ore stockpile, which is some of that material comes out of the satellite pit when we were deepening that, and some of it comes out of stockpiles that we had material out of the main pit. The main pit needs to be prepared for mining, so there's 110,000 tonnes. We'd obviously like to blend that in with main pit ore that we take out. The main pit has been exposed to the environment for the last 2 years and had no mining on it, so there's quite a lot of fine material. So we need to blend that in to get a sort of homogeneous or through the plant as you commission it. So our ramp up, I think, is 45,000 tons in month one and about 70 to 80,000 tons in month two. Now, if we can get that done in 2016, as it were, that gives us 2 months of really teething problems that we weren't expecting to have that production so soon, and it allows us to get ahead. We then try and aggressively get up to about 100,000 tons, and then we progress from 100,000 up to the 300,000 tons, which is our sort of nameplate capacity. We'd like to do that over a 9-month period, but we would like to do it sooner than that, and obviously it just depends on how well you commission and how well you do that. Our mining plan caters for extracting all of this ore out of the main pit and the north side of the pit in the early stages. So we feel confident that we've got that under control, Nick. But, you know, commissioning is always, you might do 45 and then 80 and then back to 70 and then up to 120. It just depends how you put your plant together. Our whole commissioning philosophy is once things are ready, we commission them and then mothball them. So we've already commissioned the main crusher, the apron feed motors, and we've now, as I said, put the crushers in and those pumps are going in. So we'll start commissioning those now. And then a question of each individual item of equipment will be commissioned, but then you've got to put it all together. So it's a bit like getting the whole symphony to play all together. You need a bit of practice.
Sure. Thanks.
We're now over to the line of Patrick Morton at Macquarie. Please do go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the question. The proportion of your forecast operating cost that's in local currency versus perhaps the U.S. dollar or other currencies?
Okay. Grant, do you want to go over that one?
Yeah, sure. A majority of our costs are going to be Rand and Malachi-based. So, we'll have very little exposure to currencies other than the Malachi and the Rand, which are pegged at 1-to-1.
And then relating to power supply agreements, could you remind me the general sort of baked-in inflation in power supply?
Okay, Grant, yeah. I'll take the first bit of that, and then you wanted to talk within the budget. I mean, we are contracted with the Lesotho Electricity Company for our electricity supply, and we're on the Lesotho grid, which is linked to the whole Southern African grid, and that also includes the hydro power from Lesotho. I don't quite remember what the rate is, but I think we're paying something like 7 South African cents per kilowatt hour. But obviously with the pressures in Southern Africa in terms of trying to develop power, we're seeing well above inflation increases on power in terms of, you know, so people are asking for 25, 28% increases and then being pegged back to about 14. But I think in our latest forecast, Grant, maybe you can just touch on what we put in the budget when we did our model forecasting.
Yeah, sure. I recall when we put together the model for the presentation in October last year, it was around 8 cents per kilowatt hour. I think there's no doubt that there is pressure, and the pressure on energy costs in the Southern African context is definitely in excess of inflation. But Lesotho has other sources of power, so it's not necessarily to say that Lesotho will experience the same increases in electricity tariffs that are being experienced in South Africa.
Great,
I think,
thanks.
Patrick, just to round off on that, you know, we did up our Rand forecast of cost per ton when we had the original DFS. I think we were at 140 odd Rand, and our last estimate was about 198, which is, I think, what we published in October that Grant's referring to. So we're definitely seeing Rand pressure in terms of increasing costs, because although our costs are denominated in Rands, obviously fuel is, you know, US dollar based, everything comes off the mighty dollar. But we've got the double-edged sword of, you know, that although oil is down, the depreciating Rand then increases the costs. So we're kind of coming out break even at the moment. But when we do our budgets, we do put in excess escalation. We don't naively think it'll escalate by 6% on average, because that's CPI. We do put in aggressive inflation yields on those components. But at the same time, we haven't, you know, rerun our budget at 15-to-1, for example, and we continue to run that at 13.28. I think that was what Grant ran it at. So we've got some benefit still to come through on that, while we'll lose some on the inflation side.
Great, thanks. Final question, diamond valuation update plans.
We're not planning. Yeah, we do have some. We will, as we get closer to production and anticipate production. As you know, we're hovering around our predicted price of 130, and that's now obviously the big question in the room is, will we achieve that on first sale, and how's the market been since you did that? We will update. I was just discussing this with Paul, our group competent person and general manager, on this morning about the timing of if and when we do this. So we'll probably look to do this towards the second part of the year, Patrick, when we've seen a lot more news come out of the first half of the year, where we're going on prices and how the market's feeling. I think if we do it now, you'll probably ask me the same question again in 4 months' time, because there'll be a lot have happened over the last 4 months. I don't want to go and spend any money doing that right now. It's not going to change the way we look at things and the way we work. So I think we'll do that probably in August, September.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We now go over to Richard Morgan at Mirabeau Securities. Please do go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Just following up on the question on ramp-up, how long do you think it'll be between the first production of diamonds and the first sales?
That's a good question, Richard. Thanks very much. The answer, as my good legal colleague always used to say to me, is it depends. It will depend on how smoothly it goes and how much money we have in the bank, so that we're not desperate. The more desperate you are to make sure that you've still got sufficient headroom, the quicker you will want to sell your goods to bring some revenue in. At the same time, we feel if we can get a good representative sample, the longer we can work across the ore body and in the main pit, the better we'll get a representative sample that the market will be happy with, and it'll be closer to our representative price that we will probably discover what that is, you know, later in the year. So it sort of, we still got about 6 months to go before we'll really understand where we are, but we would obviously like to put a good few hundred thousand tons through, get the diamonds out, and have a great, you know, great parcel to show people that's good news for us. So that's kind of a bit up in there at the moment, but we want to have as much flexibility as possible.
Okay, thanks.
Just to remind all participants that if you do wish to ask a question, it's 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now, and there'll be a further pause for any further questions at this stage. Okay, it looks as if we have a further question from Peel Hunt and Michael Stoner. Michael, please go ahead.
Thanks for the call, gents. A quick one on early delivery of the project, and any... Could you give us a run-through on any potential cost savings on the CapEx budget? So to deliver early in October, do you have to throw extra headcount and kind of spend at the project to deliver that, or are there some kind of small savings around your contracts if you deliver early?
Yeah, good question, Michael. There's no capital savings at all. We went fixed price very early on in sort of June, July 2014. We signed many of the major contracts. So that protected us from capital inflation. And at the same time, and then if you finish earlier, you don't get to save. You know, some of these are labor-driven costs, so there's pluses and minuses of that. So we effectively will still spend the same amount of capital, although we'll be ready 2 months earlier and we'll be starting to work earlier. What we do save is the P's and G's and feeding these people, which, you know, adds up every day. So there's some small savings to be realized by getting people off the site and ramping up early. Obviously, if we're ramping up early, we get our revenue earlier. We've run the NPVs on those, and it's definitely positive. And we're going to make about 20 million rand available to incentivize the teams to work to achieve this target. What we're doing is we're working all the Saturdays that are available now between now and the end of October. So there's a slight payment for that. We're still within all the overtime rules and regulations. We've got to be mindful that we continue to maintain our excellent safety record, which I have failed yet to mention. We over 2 million man-hours of lost time injury-free, so we're not wanting to jeopardize that. That 20 million will be funded through savings out of the project, so we will find that money and maybe a little bit out of the exchange rate gains that we've made. So I'm not seeing a growth in capital at all, but I'm also not seeing any savings that will report to the bottom line. We'll spend those savings to achieve that deadline.
Okay, understood. And then finally, could you just remind me of the tax situation when you get into production on forecast kind of historic losses you can use to offset tax, any holidays, etc.?
Yeah, okay. Grant, do you want to handle that?
Sure. There are obviously assessed tax losses at the Lekkerbong level, and currently it looks as though those tax losses would offset any of the taxable income in that entity for at least a period of 4 to 5 years. There are no particular tax concessions or anything like that that have been granted to the company. So withholding taxes, income taxes, all other direct and indirect taxes would be applicable as per local legislation.
And with the exception of the royalty, Michael, we've got 20 million credit effectively on the first royalties that we pay. Instead of paying at 8%, we pay at 4% until we've saved $20 million.
Perfect. And are you able to share with us the absolute number for those tax losses? Because obviously you burn through those quicker at higher diamond prices or slower at lower prices, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I think one of the main components to those, well, which affects those losses on a continuous basis, is where the rand is trading at according to the dollar. A lot of the losses has arisen out of foreign currency translation losses, and those obviously fluctuate. They fluctuate continuously.
I think, okay. Michael. Yeah. What I think, if you wanted in the rand costs, just is I think we started off with about 600 million plus of assessed losses, and then we're spending about 2 billion on the project, so you're already at 2.6 billion of assessed loss, which are those capital allowances and the assessed loss we started with, and then you've got to throw in all of those translation forex losses the grant has. So the answer is it's a substantial amount before we get to pay tax, so we should factor that in. And I think maybe if you have a call with Grant, follow up with him and he'll give you more detail. I don't think he has it to hand right now.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for that.
Okay, if anyone has any final questions at the moment, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now? Stuart, as there are no further questions, may I please pass it back to you for any closing comments?
Oh, great. Well, thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen, for dialing in and giving us the questions, and the support that we've had over the last 6 months has been appreciated, and I've engaged with many of you on the project. So obviously, we're very excited right now. We're hitting the home stretch, and you know, I think it's just such great progress that I'm seeing on the site. So thank you for your interest. We will be updating you again with a written announcement coming sometime in April as we finish the first quarter of 2016. Which will be our third quarter of the financial year. So that'll be the next time we announce any results on that, and I anticipate being further complete. So until then, unless I see any of you beforehand, thank you very much.
This now concludes today's call, so thank you all very much for attending, and you may now disconnect.